Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. And so at this time, you have your Bibles with you. I'm going to invite you to find those with me now and to pull those out. Maybe you have the app on your phone. You can find that as well. Or there's a couple of Bibles over on the Welcome Center. You can grab those if you'd like. And you see the scripture passage here on the screen. We're going to be in the book of Romans this morning. In the New Testament, all the way past the four Gospels, then you have the book of Acts, then you have the book of Romans. We'll be here in Romans 12, starting in verse 1, and we will talk about that and read that passage here in just a little bit. But we're re-engaging once again this morning, this sermon series that we've been in for several weeks now and will continue to be for a while. This sermon series called Foundations for Our Faith. Looking at all these different areas of, I don't know if you want to call them doctrines or theology or just the basics of our faith, those things that strengthen our faith, those things that support our faith. And what we're talking about this morning, this particular foundation for our faith, is something that doesn't even show up once in the entire Old Testament. And it is something that is only on the lips of Jesus only three times in all the Gospels, and I think they're all in Matthew. But then in the book of Acts, it becomes a primary focus through that book and through the rest of Scripture. Starting with its Spirit-empowered earliest moment, to its intentional and unintentional spread, to Paul's planting of it, to letters that are written to it, to then at the end of the Bible in Revelation when Jesus speaks affirmations and encouragement and warnings to it. And of course, I'm talking about the church. The church. The foundation for our faith today is the church. And we could this morning go in any number of directions, because this is a big topic for us today. The church. We could go in a bunch of different directions. We could go in one direction that we could go into some heavy-duty academic rigor. All right, so you ready for this? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open up the doors and see all the people. Yeah, if you've heard that before. Yes. Now, that's high-level academia, right? Not exactly. Nor is it good theology. This is not the church. The building is not a church. So we could go a different route this morning. We could, how about this? We could parse some Greek words. Who's up for that? Oh, I saw a look of disgust over here. I won't say who it was. But if you have attended Westview 101 or any time over the last 10 years, I hope that you remember this great Greek word called ekklesia. This is the Greek word that is the word for church. Ekklesia comes from the verb kaleo, which means to call. You got the preposition at the beginning, ek, and in this case it means out of. And so quite literally, the church, we are the called out ones. Or this morning we could look at a number of words or phrases that are like synonyms to church. So we could talk about assembly or the people of God or the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the fellowship of the faithful, or so much more. Or if we wanted this morning, we could go down an avenue where we do get into some deep theological thinking, and we could talk about the visible church, and we could talk about the invisible church, and we could talk about the theology of how one becomes a member of the church. Election. And we could talk about... We're not going to go there right now. Well, we could talk about how we practically become a part of the church. You know, faith in Jesus Christ. Or we could go and look at other scripture passages and just talk about what does the church look like? And we've got this great scripture passage here. We'll put it on the screen, Acts 2:42, a great summary of the early church where it said they, those earliest believers, those earliest followers of Jesus Christ where the Spirit was gathering together, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Those are four thoroughly relevant practices yet still today for the church. And so we could go in any number of those directions this morning, and all of them would be appropriate, all of them would be acceptable. In fact, all of them are important, and we probably should at some point go down all of them. But we're going to do something just a little different today. My hope this morning is to process, maybe it's even just taking a step back, and just to process together, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be the church? And what does that tell us about our identity, our individual identity, our corporate identity? What does it mean to be the church? And from that identity, then what does that mean of us and for us? And I think we get that and so much more from this Romans 12 passage. This chapter is a fantastic chapter for so many reasons. And we can look at a lot of different scripture passages. We're going to pick this one out today and study Romans 12. What does it mean to be the church? And Ryan, I'm going to have you come, and if you would please come and read this scripture passage for us. So again, Romans 12, starting in verse 1. And I would invite you to follow along as Ryan reads our passage for us today.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to their grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ryan, for reading our passage for us. Appreciate that very much. I love where the passage begins. I love it because this is where everything begins, is it not? If we look there, everything we're going to talk about today, everything we've really been talking about this entire series, but even everything we talk about the church today falls underneath this umbrella, where it says, in view of God's mercy. So being part of the church, being the church is all in light of God's goodness and His grace and His love and His mercy. And I don't think there's any better place for us to start to explore that or live into that then to think about what that means for us. To be the church, what does that speak into our individual identity? So I want to bring you to a verse that Ryan just read for us. And it might sound right on and it might sound strange, but I'll let you decide here in just a moment. Go to verse 3 with me. In verse 3 it says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, I think, okay, there's a word. You know, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. If we're talking about our individual identity, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I think, absolutely, we as the church, right, we are under the mercy of God. We ought not to think of ourselves better than anyone else, yes? But I also read that verse and I get punched in the gut just a little bit because I know that there are moments where I can be, as it says later, conceited. Or I can be arrogant. I can be a little snooty. Paul's talking about here, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I've heard it explained to me before, and I love explaining this. You know, have you ever had it before where you think about, let's think about ourselves, and we think about our journey of following Jesus Christ. And maybe for some of us here today, we've been on a journey with Jesus for a long time. And so we've had a long time to be able to grow in our faith. And maybe we get nice and tall. And then maybe there's someone else that's maybe sitting by us this morning. Maybe they have not been a part of the faith or have not followed Jesus quite as long. And so maybe their growth is not quite as tall. And it's quite then easy for us to literally or figuratively look down on them until we all must remember that our feet are in the same spot. And we are all sinners standing on the floorboards of God's grace. And so Paul is saying here, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Do not be conceited. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. But that phrase there actually also means the exact opposite as well. Now, not just only be arrogant, don't also be proud, but also don't think of yourself too lowly. You ever have that where someone maybe is so self-deprecating, it's almost like the attention's back on them? And so Paul is saying here, you know, don't belittle yourself. Don't degrade yourself. Don't demean yourself. And so all that to say is to be the church means that we have a proper perspective about ourselves. Not one in which we're conceited, but also not one that we are shame-filled. Which for me at least, maybe for you, one or both of those can be an issue at times. To be the church means that we have an assurance that there is a basis for our identity. And that identity is not based on what we do or what we don't do. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Our identity, to be the church, means that our identity is in Jesus Christ. Not in the 401k portfolio. Our identity is not in the win-loss record. Our identity is not in that fancy new whatever it was we purchased this last week. Our identity is not in all the things that we're volunteering in and here at church or in the community. Our identity is not found whether we can sing like Sinatra or paint like Picasso. Our identity is in Christ. And that means we are not to be conceited nor a pushover. And for some of us this morning, this might be a humbling word for us. A reminder of the humility we are supposed to have. And if it's meant to be a humbling word for some of us this morning, let it be that. That we do not think of ourselves too highly. But for some of us this morning, that might be a word of encouragement. Maybe we struggle with our own image or our identity. Let it be a word of encouragement for us as well, that we also don't think of ourselves in a wrong way, that we have a proper perspective of who we are, because to be the church, to be those that God has called, to be in Jesus Christ means that our individual identity, our identity is in Jesus. To be the church means that our individual identity is in Jesus Christ. But to be the church also speaks not just our individual identity, but to our corporate identity as well. And for this, I'd love to go to the very next verse. Let me read that next verse for us, verse 4, and then we'll maybe even go on to verse 5 here. So to be the church speaks to our corporate identity. Verse 4 says this, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Friends, I want to share something this morning that I have a feeling. It might elicit the most powerful amen that has ever resonated in this worship center. You ready for this? The church, Westview Church, is not just made up of people just like me. Oh, I thought that was going to be an amen. Right? Because even I know that that would be a bad idea. I mean, can you imagine how awful it would be if every single person here at Westview was just like me, that thought like me and talked like me and had the same strengths as me and had the same growth areas as me? Yes? How bad would that be? Would it be bad if the whole church was filled up with this guy who's here on the screen? I mean, come on. Right? Someone told me that this picture kept popping up on the Pro Presenter this week. I don't know what was going on, but he's decided to make an appearance today. How bad would it be if this guy was filled up this place, right? The glasses, the teeth, the shirt, whatever it all is, right? Good news. Thanks be to God. Yes, thanks be to God that the church is made up of many, 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 many different people and different, with different passions and different opinions and different giftings and different personalities and different characteristics and different, all the things. And thanks be to God that each one belongs. I mean, don't miss the last words of verse 5. Look there again if you need to. It says, each member belongs to all the others. We are all part of the church. Those of us who are tall Dutchmen who grew up on farms and love sports and appreciate history and would eat ice cream at every meal and who prefers crowds over one-on-one time, who would subject themselves to the purgatory of mediocrity that is the Minnesota Vikings, if that's you, you belong. We belong here, as well as those who are short city folk, who can't tell a football from a golf ball, who believe history should be divided into Taylor Swift eras, right? Who would rather stay home because it's too people-y out there, who put kale in their protein smoothies, and who would appreciate a walk through an art gallery. You belong to. If that's you, you belong to. And we can be silly about this. We can have a little fun with this. But it gets very serious very quickly, does it not? Because when there's those differences that come, right? We start talking opinions, we start talking preferences, and we start touching on those hot topics. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those social, those political topics, those matters. And what happens is those differences so quickly build dividers. Which is sad, because we all belong to each other. And the differences we have are a grace for us. To be the church means that our corporate identity is not uniformity, but unity in Jesus Christ. And those differences that we have, they are a beauty rather than the basis for bickering. The diversity that we have fills gaps rather than anchors us in some sort of self-declared rightness. And so to be the church gives us this corporate identity of a manyness into a oneness, a beautiful diversity and differences that comes together as one in Christ. So to be the church speaks to our individual identity. We're in Christ. And it speaks to our corporate identity, this beautiful diversity in one body. But here's the other thing about the church. Here's the other thing that to be the church isn't just about naming and declaring our identity and then just sitting and resting and coasting the rest of our time. To be the church means something for us. Actually, to be the church means something of us. To be the church asks something of us, and actually quite a bit. So help me out this morning. I would guess most of us, if not all of us, came into this space this morning. We walked through those doors, yes? Help me out. Did you notice what it said on those big black letters on that outside wall? Did it say Westview Country Club? No? Now, there is a fundamental difference between a church and a country club, yes? And although it's so different, I don't know if I would necessarily should have to name that there's a difference. However, unfortunately, what happens is that the mentality of one bleeds into the other. There's a fundamental difference. I'm told, I don't belong to a country club, but I'm told that you go to a country club and you pay a fee, and then you are allowed access to the services of the country club. Like you can go golfing there, and you can access the dining room, and you can go to the pool, and you can enjoy all the other amenities of a country club. True? This is a church. It's not a country club. It's not a country club. So you want to be challenged. Here's a challenge for you today. The challenge is this afternoon, read through the whole New Testament and tell me where it says that the church is here to entertain you. Tell me where it says, anywhere in the New Testament, you find it for me, tell me where it says that the church is here to provide services for you. Tell me in the New Testament, you find it for me, tell me where it says that the church is to be this professional performance full of all this emotional pumping pizzazz. Tell me where it says that the church is supposed to make us feel good all the time, or that the church is supposed to spoon-feed us theological doctrine so we come out as well-balanced Christians, or tell me where it says that the church is supposed to do everything for us. Friends, listen very closely. When God calls us to be a part of the church, let me say it this way. When God calls us to be the church, it's not to pamper you. It's to partner with you. You want to be pampered? Join a country club. There's one right down the road. You want to partner with God in the work of redemption? In seeking the reconciliation of hearts and souls, pursuing restoration of this world, you want to pray and practice the words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then be a part of the church. Be the church. Be the church. So know this, friends, that to be the church, yes, it affirms our identity. It affirms our individual identity. It affirms this corporate identity. And to be the church, it asks something of us. And not just a little. It asks that we give of ourselves. It asks that we give all of ourselves to the will and to the way of God. Jump very to the very beginning of this passage again. I told you, I like the beginning. Yes, in view of God's mercy, what does it say next? Offer yourselves, offer your bodies, offer who you are, offer your life, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Here's what that looks like. To be the church means that it asks of us to offer ourselves in worship. We were made to worship. Westminster Confession, very first question, what's the chief end of humankind? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is what we were made to do, was to worship. And so the church worships, right? We come and we offer praise to God in song. We offer proclamations and petitions to God in prayer. And we offer an open heart and open mind as we open His Word. And we offer our joy in fellowship. We offer ourselves in worship to God. We were made for this. And so then maybe help me out this morning and help me understand why then, if we were made for this, why then does worship slide down the priority totem pole to the point that it occupies the space that says, well, if I don't have anything else going on this weekend, then I'll come. Or it occupies the space that says, well, I was out kind of late last night, or oh, I'm really tired this morning. Or why does the priority of coming to worship occupy the space that says, well, I mean, you pick the hot flavor of the excuse month. Some of us are gardeners, some of us are plant people, yes. If you have a plant that needs to be watered once a week, and you water it once a month, what happens to the plant? Or you water it every 6 weeks. Or you water it every 8 weeks. Or you water it twice a year, it withers. And I think we do know that worship is more than just a one-time thing on a Sunday morning, yes? But I think the point's made. To be the church means that we offer ourselves in worship. It also means to be the church, it also asks of us to renew our minds, to offer the renewing of our minds. This is verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, to renew our mind, that can mean any number of things. We're going to categorize it under the umbrella, this large umbrella of discipleship. And what's discipleship? That's a whole other message for another time, but the definition we're going to use today is this. Discipleship is growing in who we are in Christ. So, our identity, we are in Christ. We're growing in that. It's more than just filling our heads with factual knowledge. It's about what we talked about last week, with this whole thing of sanctification, that all-encompassing transformation of becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That's discipleship. And I love that here at Westview, the word lifelong is in our core values when it says lifelong in discipleship. Because discipleship does not end until after I have taken my final breath. And so regardless of what age we are, regardless of what past discipleship opportunities we had, regardless of what current circumstances are, the question for us is, how are we proactively pursuing discipleship? How are we growing in our faith? How are we learning more from Scripture? How are we figuring out that balance between trust and obedience, all, so it says, Paul says, so we're able to test and approve what God's will is. To be the church asks of us that we renew our minds. To be the church also asks of us that we use our gifts. We talked a little bit ago that there's this diversity of people, differences amongst us, and the same is true. There's this vast array of gifts within the body. We all have at least one. Many of us have more. And no matter what that is, Paul says, no matter if it's serving, no matter if it's teaching, no matter if it's encouraging, no matter if it's giving, no matter if it's hospitality, Paul is urging us to use those gifts, to put those gifts into practice. He says to serve the Lord with spiritual fervor, to be a blessing to the body. Isn't it amazing to think about how God, when God's at work of forming a congregation, right, a church together, and if we think specifically here, Westview Church, isn't it amazing that as God is at work forming this congregation together, that God said, I need one of you. That whatever gift or gifts you bring to the table, God knew that you were needed, and that gift was needed for God to accomplish what He wants to do in and through this place called Westview. And the great thing about gifts is that when we share those gifts, we receive. When we offer those gifts, we are blessed. I don't know if you knew this or not, but did you know that sometimes people get frustrated with the church? And they get frustrated with God? And they tell me about it. And this is what they say, like, oh, I have not seen God at work here at this church. I've not seen God at work in my life. And I don't want to be snarky about it, but honestly, the response I want to give, because I don't think this is a snarky response, this is a real response, is I want to say, have we seen you at work? Because when we use the gifts God has given to us, God is at work. When we use the gifts that God has given to us, we not only see God at work in that Discovery Hour class that we're teaching, or that mission trip that we're on, or the Building the Grounds team that we're participating in. We see God at work there, but not only is God at work in those places, God is at work within us when we use those gifts. And so to be the church asks of us that we offer our gifts. To be the church also asks of us that we are committed to one another. Listen to a few words that Paul shares here. He uses words like sincere and devoted and faithful and love and share. See, we live in relationship with one another as the church. There's this inherent bond between us. And what I love about that is there is a bond between each one of us before we even know one another. Before we've even met one another, before we remember what the names are without these name tags, before we find out that we have a common interest in golf, we have a bond with one another, and that bond is through Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There's a relationship between us, and that relationship, that commitment to one another, is nothing to take lightly. The bond that comes from this commitment, it goes far beyond, you know, a friendship bracelet. Anybody wear those? But we are blood brothers and we are blood sisters through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're for each other. We're devoted to each other. We share with one another. We're faithful to each other. To be the church asks of us that we are committed to one another. And along with that, the very next one, to be the church also asks of us that we live life together. Look at verses 15 and 16. Such simple verses, and yet so good. Verse 15 starts out by saying, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. We could even go up to verse 14 where it says, bless even those who are against us. I don't know if this is just me who thinks about these things, but maybe I'm going to mess with our minds here just for a moment. But do you ever think about this? Do you ever just stop and think about this grouping of people? And even today, right, this grouping of people that are here in this worship center this morning, this random group of people that God has just put together today. Because the reality is that some of us live by each other. And some of us maybe interact through work, or maybe we even do work together. And the reality is that some of us maybe go to school with one another, but for the most part, a lot of us, we don't live by each other. We don't necessarily, our paths don't cross at work. We don't go to the same schools. And yet, here we all are together in this moment on this Sunday morning, here in this space. Does that blow anybody else's mind away sometimes? And we do things like we sing together. And we shake hands and maybe even little side hugs and we do all these things together. This random group of people that are here together. And I think about, you know, if it wasn't for Westview Church, would we really even know each other? Would we hang out together? Would we like each other? And yet we are here in this space. All thrown together as the church. And because we're together, and even though we might not live by each other, we might not work together, we might not even go to school together, yet what we do as the church is we care for each other intentionally. We care for one another. We're intentional about sharing life together. We're intentional about living life together. We celebrate with one another. We mourn with each other. We support one another. We encourage one another. We cheer one another on. We cheer one another on in our marriages and in our sports and in our music and in our discipleship and in our struggles. Like this crazy diverse group of people that would not otherwise interact if it wasn't for this place being coming together. We share life with one another. In a sense, we're responsible to and for each other. To be the church asks of us that we live life together. And then finally, to be the church asks of us
to be offer ourselves as a witness to this world, right? The way that we conduct ourselves around, you know, matters, how we conduct ourselves. And even though, you know, we live in this world, yes, there's evil, Paul names. And we live in this world where bad things do happen. And bad things do happen to us. How we interact with our community and how we interact with our world matters. And if you're like me, my first instinct is exactly what Paul says here. Repay evil with evil. Take revenge. I got to get me some now. But Paul has a different way, and we can maybe summarize his way as take the high road or turn the other cheek. And I'm like, Paul, that is so much easier to say than it is to do. But I love what verse 18 says. Look there with me. Whether it's dealing with people in the church or outside the church, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, we are to live in a way that we are always becoming, that we are always representing the name of the one who we profess, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we will overcome evil with good. Friends, to be the church asks of us to offer ourselves as a witness to the world. To be the church asks all of this of us. And I know I've said so much this morning. Like I said, it is a huge topic for us today. And we could go down any number of paths. But I hope that we can walk out of here this morning recognizing what it means to be the church. That to be the church means that we can actively rest in the fact that our identity is in Jesus Christ. That to be the church means that we can embrace the diversity of its membership and recognize that we too are a part of that diversity. And that to be the church is to respond faithfully when it is asked of us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. To be this church, this, as Paul says, is holy and pleasing to God. May it be so. Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord, we are so grateful this morning for your mercy that you have shown to us. A mercy that we can rest in that promise, that hope, that goodness, that our identity is in Jesus Christ. A mercy that allows us to rub shoulders with one another, people who are just like us and people who are so different from us, and yet coming together to be the one body. And a mercy, really, that calls us beyond who we are today, that urges us to offer ourselves as the church in all these ways we explore today. God, we thank you for your mercy. Your mercy that starts this all. We thank that you have called us. We thank you that by your Spirit that you empower us and strengthen us and send us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, to whom we can look, to whom we can pattern ourselves after, to whom we can continue to grow up into. And God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we talked about a lot this day, and there's maybe some areas that we say we're sprinting ahead and some areas we're stumbling out of the gate. But God, thank you that you are faithful and you walk with us every step of the way. And I hear our prayer this morning, God, that would say for each one of us here today and those of us online, all of us who are part of the church, meet us right where we're at. Help us to take that next step, the very next step of what it would look like for us to continue to be the church. All for you, all for your name, all for your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.